is to get us together. Hear another voice of thy word, sing songs of praise, your great name, Lord. Be with us as we go through this service, and may everything we do be according to your will. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
First day.
I got one.
And we can look on the board back there, and there's a lot of great days on that board, and I feel fortunate to have one of them and know all the rest of them.
Okay.
My family used to attend here, Hester Hill, at church, and I know him and his wife and his family, so he passed away, and I want to remember that.
Okay. Brother Lee?
I hope you got a copy of the prayer list, and it is today's, although the date says last week, but my secretary forgot to change the date. He knows I don't have a secretary. I don't have any other announcements to make, any more updates on folks that need prayer, but you have the list there, and I hope you'll use it this week. I'm not sure if the Dorothy Thompson that's on the list, I'm not sure she's identified as Connie Williams' mother. But Connie was taking care of her. Other than that, I don't have any announcements. But there was trouble at the table. Trouble was, this was a very special meal that only happened once a year. And Jesus was really looking forward to it. He said, I wanted very much to eat this Passover meal with you before I die. Because he knew what was coming. He knew what the plan was. He knew what was going to happen. Judas had already made a bad deal with the Jewish leaders to hand Jesus over to them. And he was probably feeling terrible about that. And you know what made it even worse? Jesus knew about it. While they were sitting around the table, he said, one of you will turn against me. And it's hard to keep a secret from Jesus. He seems to know what's going on. But the strange thing was, even though Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, he still called him friend. In Matthew 26, when Judas arrived with the mob to arrest Jesus in the garden, Jesus said, friend, do the thing you came to do. And it's hard to understand love that would be that deep and friendship that would be that strong. If you could call the person who's going to betray you, friend. It goes way beyond our idea of friendship, but Jesus always goes beyond our ideas. And His love is so deep, He was willing to give His life. And that's what we commemorate here at the Lord's table.
It's going to be 4:36, a day of my life,
I'm
thank you for another morning, and what a beautiful morning it is to be here. Lord, today we have quite a few things to celebrate, one of them being to celebrate Father's Day. And even though my father's been gone for quite a few years, I still thank of him often. And I appreciate the way that he raised me and my our family. And Lord, we also thank you because you are our Heavenly Father, and you provide us with so many things to be thankful for, including your Son Jesus, which probably is the biggest gift of all when it comes to the end of your life. And knowing Jesus is such a blessing to have. And Lord, we partake of this cup and this, or this bread and this cup, which represents Jesus' body and his blood that was shed for us to have this opportunity. And it's in your blessed Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah.
Lord God, thank you again for this wonderful day you blessed us with. Thank you for this wonderful church you gave us. Thank you for each and every blessing you provide us with. As we bring forth this gift, bless both the gift and the giver, and let it be used in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Good to see all of you this morning. I see Battens have guests from out of state. Their daughter and son-in-law and grandsons. And it's good to see you. Good to see all of you, of course. Let's join in singing, starting with hymn number 133, in honor of Father's Day. Faith of our fathers. Thank you. And let's continue with number 380. I'm pressing on to higher ground. Number 393 is our prayer hymn, and let's stand as we sing just the first verse and join in prayer. Come before you today, humbled, in awe of your grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for the way you've designed what a family is supposed to be, with a mother and a father who lead their children. Yet, Lord, through our sinful ways, some have taken what you made holy and created their own version of today's families. Because of this, many of our children are suffering. It's for the fathers and the families and the children of our world that we pray today. We pray for your blessing, your favor, and your strength on every dad in this world. For those who are seeking to walk closely with you in a dark world. And for those who just need to be reminded that you're real. Make them always aware and alert to the schemes of Satan, we ask. Help them always stand strong to be men of faith and to say no to what is wrong and yes to what is right. We ask that you'll fill their hearts with love and compassion, and joy and faithfulness, and cover their lives with peace. We pray earnestly, because you've shown us what a father should be by your own love and righteousness. And we offer you this prayer in the name of our Savior and your Son, Jesus. Amen. We've come to church, we ought to read some scripture. And I'm looking at the 15th chapter of Luke. If you want to follow it in one of those Bibles in the pews, that would be great. 15th chapter of Luke, and the 11th verse. It's just a little story. I think you've probably heard it before. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I'm starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men." So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to his father, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. There's more to that story, but I want to focus this morning not on the prodigal son. Someone else in the family. And I want to say Happy Father's Day to all of you folks. I know you celebrate Father's Day even if you're not a father. You had a father. It's a day of neckties and new cologne, a day of hugs and long-distance phone calls and Hallmark cards. But most of all, it's a day to honor God. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. And that's how it's written in the Bible. But I think it's also written on our hearts. I think we just naturally tend to give respect recognition to our fathers. The fact that God even added your father to the Ten Commandments should show us how important it is. There are lots of things that you can give your dad on Father's Day. I imagine if we asked, we could find some interesting Father's Day gifts. But let's not forget this most important thing. The best gift you can give to your father on Father's Day is to honor him. And that's what I want to do today. A lot of times sermons are preached pointing out to fathers where they're falling short and what they need to do better. I want to honor fathers. Somebody said a father is a man who carries photographs where his money used to be. Think about it. As a dad, you want to stand strong, and one look in your child's eyes melts you down, doesn't it? As a dad, you strive to be heroic. Although you know there are days you don't really deserve a medal. As a dad, you hope to be wise. But one question asked repeatedly by a six-year-old can baffle you. Why? Any of your kids ever ask you that? Why? And sometimes it's hard to answer. A few years back, Family Circle magazine published results from a national survey of fathers. And it had some revealing results. 94% of the people surveyed said that building a family is the hardest and most important thing a man can do. 71% of them said that fatherhood is more demanding than they expected. Surprise. And 88% said it is more rewarding than they expected. 87% said the rewards of fatherhood trump the rewards of a career. 90% said becoming a father made them want to be a better person and a role model for their kids. Truth is, dads are the primary role model for their kids. Children tend to follow in their father's footsteps in many ways. So it's important that we set the right example. And this morning I shared that story from the Bible so that I could help you think about being a role model for your kids. And I guess this applies to mothers too, doesn't it? Kids watch your mothers. They watch you when you don't know they're watching. And lest you think I came up with these sermon ideas all by myself, I want to give credit for this idea to a gentleman from Indiana named Scott Bales, who serves the church in Indiana. It's just a different way of looking at a very familiar scripture. Familiar parable told by Jesus. We call it the parable of the prodigal son. We usually talk about this story from the perspective of the son. He rebels against his father, he runs away from home, and eventually comes back. But I'd like to look at the parable, the father in this parable. I call this sermon, Honor Thy Daddy, because that's what I want you to do. The father in this story represents our Heavenly Father, of course. And as such, he's the perfect parent. He's a model of fatherhood. And as I read this story, I see four things in this father that we would do well to imitate. For one thing, he was a providing father. Scripture says, the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. And his father agreed to divide his wealth between the two sons. Now forget the son's self-centered attitude of entitlement for a moment. What I want you to notice is that this father had an estate. He had wealth that he intended to leave to his children as an inheritance. And as the story continues, we find out the father had flocks and herds. even hired servants. Not slaves, but paid employees. And he had food enough to spare, the Bible says. So even his servants earned a good living and had more than they needed. And I think fathers today should strive to follow in his footsteps. A father's job has many facets to it, but one of the most important roles is that of a provider. God takes that very seriously. Paul wrote to young Timothy, he said, anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Them is pretty strong words. Them is. When God blesses you with a family, he's trusting you to take care of them, to make sure their needs are met. And not only that, but providing for your family, you also demonstrate the value of hard work. And you model biblical principles for handling money. You can do all this for your kids. I heard a story this week about a father who was trying to be a role model for his son, but he kept bringing home office work every night. Just every night he'd bring home a briefcase full of stuff, and finally his first grader asked him why. His dad explained he had so much work he couldn't finish it all during the day. And the boy said, well, in that case, why don't they put you in a slower group? That's what they do in my school. So he was modeling the wrong way for his kids, I guess. But providing for our kids is not about giving them everything that they want. It's about teaching them to trust their father and their mother. If they know that their earthly father will always provide for them and meet their needs, it's that much easier for them to trust their heavenly father also. So he was a providing father. He was also a patient father. I marvel at this man. His father agreed to divide his wealth between his two sons. A few days later, the younger son packed up all his belongings, moved to a distant country, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. What a disappointment, you know? But let me ask you an obvious question. Was the father stupid? I mean, normally you would not divide your estate between your children while you're still alive. Do you think he was stupid? I mean, why in the world would he give a pile of money to a youngster who was obviously self-centered and spoiled? Couldn't he have predicted what would happen? Well, the answer is no, he's not stupid. And yes, he probably knew exactly what would happen. And so do we. We know from reading the story, of course, that this self-absorbed adolescent eventually learned humility and respect. He repented of his foolishness and he humbly returned home. He learned his lesson, but he had to learn it the hard way. And that's tough. In the meantime, his father waited. He practiced patience. He trusted and he waited for his son to grow up and start making good choices. Now, whether you're raising toddlers or teenagers, patience is always a virtue. It's something every father needs. But you know, it doesn't come easily sometimes, does it? You know, I heard another story about a little boy who was misbehaving. One night, his dad, trying to get him to go to bed, had been a long, stressful day. And long after the little boy had been tucked in for the night, he started his classic drink of water routine. You know that one? Daddy, I need a drink of water. Well, his dad sweetly but sternly reminded him that he'd already had a drink. and he needed to go back to bed. But every few minutes, he'd hear the pitter-patter of little feet come running down the hall to the top of the stairway, and this goes on for over an hour. And finally, the exasperated dad loses his patience, and he shouts, "Enough! If you get out of bed one more time, I'm going to come up there and paint your back porch red." For a moment it was quiet. And then this little voice drifted down the stairs saying, "Daddy, when you come up to paint my porch, would you bring me a glass of water?" Patience does not come easily or naturally for most of us. We spend the first 18 years of our kids' life teaching them right from wrong, and hoping that Proverbs is right when it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it." It turned out to be true for the prodigal son. He got off track and made a lot of stupid mistakes, but eventually, he came back home. In the meantime, his father waited patiently. There's maybe some parents of prodigals here today, I don't know. I just want to encourage you, if you're one of those, be patient and prayerful. Those prodigal kids may come home yet. Now, this patient and providing father was also a passionate father. After the boy wasted his inheritance on partying, he was left with nothing. Everything his dad had given him was gone, and he didn't have any more coming in. His fair weather friends abandoned him, and he was forced to get a job on a farm. Now, of course, that's easy work, but you know better than that. He got a farm on a job on a farm, so he wouldn't starve to death. And it was only then he realized how wrong he'd been and how good he had it back home. So he came back home. And did you notice how his father reacted? He saw his boy coming down the road, and he just lavished affection on this kid. He ran down the road to meet him, and he grabbed him, and he hugged him, and he kissed him, and he didn't say, "Well, it's about time. I told you so." He didn't give him that. He welcomed him with love. And I doubt that that's the first time that he ever done that. I'm sure he hugged and kissed his boys every day when they were home. There have been a whole host of studies done that demonstrate the importance of fathers showing affection for their kids. Unfortunately, for a lot of men, showing affection is a challenging aspect of parenting. Traditionally, guys don't show much affection. And between mom and dad, the father's role has not usually been to dole out hugs and kisses and "I love yous." That's usually been mom's place, but a father needs to find a way to do it, to express his love for his children, because they can't read your mind, and they will not always assume that you love them. They need to see and feel and hear that love. Hugs and kisses are the most common way of showing affection, but there are other ways too. A dad can toss his 2-year-old up in the air, or spin his 7-year-old daughter around and around until she giggles, or have his 3-year-old son sit on his lap while he reads him a story. A pat on the back, squeeze of the shoulder, even a headlock and a noogie are ways of showing affection. Jesus himself used physical touch as a way of showing affection. Remember when the little children kept coming to him and the disciples tried shooing them away? And Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And then the Bible says, Jesus took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Jesus understood what these children needed in order to feel loved and accepted. And we can do the same thing. It's not just little children, of course, that need dad's affection. Max Lucado, in his book, Dad Time, wrote these words. He said, we never outgrow our need for a father's love. We're wired to receive it. So dads, follow this father's example and passionately love your kids. Finally, this father was a positive father. The story continues. You know what the boy said when he came back? Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. And his father said, in response to that, his father said, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and kill the calf that we've been fattening. We have to celebrate with a feast because my boy has come home. He could have lectured him. He could have scolded him. He could have given him the I told you so speech. But instead, he praised him for his one good decision. He decided to come home. He was quick to forgive and to celebrate his son's return. So rather than focusing all the negative, and there was plenty of that to think about, he focused on the positive. Now, kids do some stupid things. I don't know about you, but I did my share of dumb things when I was a kid. I'm not sure I've outgrown that yet. But we have a tendency to dwell on the negative sometimes. We criticize bad behavior more than we compliment good behavior. I mean, if your child comes home with two A's and three B's and one D minus, which one are you going to have a conversation about with him? As parents, we need to be intentional about reversing that habit. We need to praise our kids more than we punish them. We need to congratulate them when they succeed and tell them we're proud of them when they do good. Good job cleaning your room. You're such a good reader. I'm so proud of you for earning that scholarship. And even when they're old, you can continue praising them. You've turned out to be such a good husband and good father. I'm proud of you, son. By praising them for their good choices and small successes, we encourage them to keep making that kind of choices. Now, of course, they're going to make mistakes. I do. You do. Why not them? Our kids will. But that's when they need our forgiveness. Ernest Hemingway once wrote a short story, and you may have heard this story, about a Spanish father who wanted to reconcile with his son who had run away. He had run away to Madrid. And unfortunately, the father had no means of contacting him. He didn't know where he was. In a moment of desperation, he takes out an ad in the Spanish newspaper. It says, Paco, meet me at Hotel Montana, noon, Tuesday. All is forgiven. And he signed it, Papa. When he arrived at the square in hopes of meeting his son, he found 800 Pacos waiting to be reunited with their father. Kids need their father's approval. They need our forgiveness and they need our encouragement. So dads and moms too, let's determine to be positive parents. What we learn from the parable of the faithful father, I'll call it the parable of the faithful father. I like that. We learn that a father ought to provide for his family. They ought to be patient with his kids. He ought to passionately love on his children. And he ought to be a positive parent. And to all of the providing, patient, passionate, and positive dads here today, I just want to say thank you. You've done a good job. Thank you for teaching us how to throw a football and catch a baseball. Thank you for mowing the lawn and changing the oil. Thank you for always being there. In short, thank you for showing us what it means to be a good and godly man. And whether you're a father or not, whether you had a loving father growing up or not, you need to know that you have a Father in heaven who provides for you, is always patient with you, passionately loves you. He wants nothing more than for you to be a part of His eternal family. And that's why we sing an invitation at the close of our service. It's number 318. And we're going to sing just the first and the last verses. If there's a need in your heart to come back to your Heavenly Father, we'd encourage you to step out and do it today. While we stand and sing just the first and last verses. Happy Father's Day. If you have a father still living, I hope you'll be in touch with him today. Let's pray. Gracious God, we ask you to bless our homes and families. You've invested so much in us, and you're depending on us so much to be examples in this wayward world of what you want all of us to be. Help us be faithful parents and faithful children, so that others may see Jesus in us and claim His redeeming love. Only in His name do we ask. Amen. Amen.